life threw Alan Clay a curveball. He needed a fresh start.
And you may find yourself looking for your large automobile. And you may find yourself without a beautiful house, without a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, how did I get here?
So he's traveling halfway around the world for the deal of a lifetime.
Sound like you're on the moon?
No, I'm in Saudi Arabia. We're pitching a three-dimensional holographic meeting system to the king.
Excuse me. You're the driver?
Driver, guy, heel.
Where are you from?
Boston.
Do you like Chicago?
Not in the winter.
No.
The band. There's nothing happening there.
It's full steam ahead.
See for yourself.
Now he needs to learn.
The king won't be coming today. Here's where we are right now.
A different way of doing business.
Industrial city, business center, university.
Full steam ahead.
And a different way of making friends.
Did you meet the guy?
No, but I met his associate.
He worked for CIA or something?
He's a little freelancer work.
People don't like jokes like that.
I knew it as soon as I said it.
Tom Hanks getting back to his indie side of things with films with a hologram for the king. I believe that's what it's called. Yeah, hologram for the king. Based on the novel that was written by, if I'm not mistaken, the guy was Dave Eggers. And funny enough, I actually have this novel. I got it as a gift. I just never opened it or never read it, to be honest. But I did some research on it, and it had a lot of mixed reviews. People either liked it, they loved it, and some were just like, eh, it's cool for what it is. I've seen Dave Eggers do better, but it's a short book. They called it a summer read, so it's nice that. And one of the problems I hear with the novel, and I think this can be said for the movie too, because from the, you know, the little quotations and stuff like that I read of the novel, it's somewhat follows what the movie does. And one of them is that it's got a boring male protagonist in Tom Hanks's character in the film. And, you know, because basically they're saying, oh, it's another middle-aged white guy going through depression, or, you know, what most middle-aged white men go through. And me personally, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I think that brings out some great drama. You know, because the whole time I was watching this movie, I kept thinking of Anomalisa. Now, is this as good as Anomalisa? Well, I don't know. We'll have to give a plot synopsis and go ahead and say. Like I said, this was directed and written by Tom Tykwer, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And he worked with Tom Hanks on Cloud Atlas. He actually did some of the visual designs on there as well. He directed and wrote this film. And actually, I love the visuals of Cloud Atlas. That movie's a mess. But I know that Ben, how do you pronounce this guy? Ben Wishwaw, is it? Wish Hall? I don't know. He's Inspector. He's Q Inspector and Skyfall and all that good stuff. Whatever. But he was in Cloud Atlas, and I really loved his character. I thought he was the best thing of it, along with the music that went with it. But we see Tom Hanks here, and we open up with pretty much him on a flight. And you see a lot of Middle Eastern people on the flight. A lot of Muslims, if you will. And we find out that he's going to Saudi Arabia to, because he works for an IT communications company. And he used to be one of the top sellers there. He used to be the man, if you will. But he kind of made a mistake and lost everything he had, especially when he made this deal. And they say that China pretty much, he sums it up by saying pretty much China stole our idea, and because they could sell it for cheaper, you know, well then that's why they make what they make, and just they could slap any kind of sticker on it, and then nobody would care what the brand is. So he pretty much lost all his business to China, if you will. So this is like his last opportunity to, I guess, come back, if you will, or make a little bit of extra funds. And I've heard stories about people that went to the Middle East to make extra funds, or at least Saudi Arabia, for that matter, to make that extra funds. And you can make a lot from what I hear, but I hear that the risk sometimes, and I'm not even talking about just the territorial risk, I'm talking about the risk of the chances of you making that money is like slim to none. But so, and basically what he's doing is he's trying to save his house and put his daughter back through college, because she had to drop a semester and work her way through college. She's pretty much flat broke, and that's why he's doing this. So he gets there, and he realizes that, okay, it's called Hologram for the King because what they're displaying is Saudi Arabia has this huge-ass open land where they want to build a whole new part of the city and stuff. And their job, Tom Hanks' job and his company is to pretty much, they want to sell the idea that they can handle all of their IT, electronical equipment, and stuff like that here. Problem here is that the king never fucking shows up. He doesn't have a set date or anything. Like, he shows up whenever the fuck he feels like it. There was one person in the movie that said, yeah, I've been waiting for about 16 months now, and I still haven't seen him. He's never came by. And I was just like, holy fuck. Well, then you might as well just leave then. Don't even waste your damn time no more. And then the rest of the movie is Tom Hanks pretty much kind of having, like I said earlier in the review here, a middle-age crisis where there's a scene where he's talking to the doctor, and he's just like, I just don't have enough energy. I don't feel right no more. Sometimes I feel, back in the day, at least when I was able to handle things quick right there, he's like, I don't have that quick finesse as I used to and stuff like that. And he's blaming it on this lump he has on his back, which where he first takes a shower, and he notices this huge-ass lump, and I can see that. I was like, oh, that shit looks like a tumor, bro. And, you know, first he gets it checked out, and the doctor, as he's telling her all this stuff, he believes it's the lump why he can't do all these things, and she's just telling him, you seem like you're kind of stressed out and stuff like that, and, you know, you're depressed, and you're just kind of going through the motion, working through things. And he somewhat agrees with that. But then we later find out that, you know, it's precancerous, it's benign, though, so, you know, sip a little surgery, cut it off and stuff like that. And actually, I ain't gonna lie, they made the surgery seem kind of, it didn't seem that bad, to be honest. I was looking, I was like, wow, this surgery seems actually kind of relaxing. And this hospital in Saudi Arabia looked pretty badass, I must say, too. I was looking, I was like, damn, that looks better than hospitals in America. And the fact that there's a woman doctor up in here, that is some progress for your ass right there. That's pretty much the plot synopsis. And as he finds in tune with himself as this woman, kind of gets into a, if you could see what I'm doing right now, I'm putting my fingers together as he's like, I want to fuck that real quick. The first thing I want to say negatively here is I think the movie is kind of all over the place. It's an hour and 30 minutes, but I think it has a lot of, I guess it does. Yeah, it has a lot of subplots. There's a lot of things going on, and I think, don't get me wrong, I think that they're executed well, and the pacing is all that, because I thought the pacing was great. I thought the movie went along just well, except for I would say the middle half of it. I think it kind of got a little slow, and it was just kind of when Tom Hanks was going into a repetition of things. I bring up Anomalisa is because it was kind of like the same thing. He was a salesman as well in that too. But what I thought what Anomalisa had in the slow paces it is when it did repeat itself is it had the stop motion animation. It's beautiful animation to back it up here. Where here it's, I guess, if the cinematography of certain buildings or the sand itself excites you or anything like that, then that could be your, putting this in quotes, stop motion animation for this. But it does kind of get slow in that middle half of the film. When I say the film is kind of all over the place, I mean that in a sense of its narration. The narration is a little bit, not even a little bit, it's a little messy, I'll give it that. And you know, it goes from a man in possibly a middle-aged crisis to a story about a fish out of water, to a West meets East tale, and it kind of feels like the movie is all over the place with these subtitles. Because either one of them seems like they could be the main story of the film, especially if you're going into this cold and you don't really know nothing about it. I mean, I think I saw one trailer maybe for this before I saw the film, and I still didn't quite have an idea of what it was about. And then just realizing that it was based off a book when I was watching the movie, and I was like, wow, that looks familiar. Just seeing the title on the screen, I don't know why, on the big screen all of a sudden, I started looking through my book closet, if you will, and stuff. And I was like, oh, I do have this book. Okay. It does, I will put this, it's interesting. It had me intrigued as well, and it does make me want to read the book. Tom Hanks is amazing in the film. I mean, he's always amazing. If anything, I don't think this film really does anything for his career other than prove that Tom Hanks is the man. He's one of the greatest actors we have working today. The day he retires or dies or anything like that, sad day for Hollywood. But his he has a driver in here, because Tom Hanks just can't wake up early, and most of it is part of the benign. I guess the cancerous lump on his back, which is really close to his spine too. You got Alexander Black playing Yusef in here. He's his driver, kind of becomes his friend in a way, and he's always constantly calling him because he can never make his shuttle, because the place where they meet Ned is like an hour away. And Yusef is funny. It's like a comedy drama elements in here, or whatever. And Yusef, their dynamic of what they got going together adds a lot of humor to it, because this could easily just be a dry dramedy. Dry drama where you kind of just putting pieces of the puzzle together. But Yusef comes in, adds a lot of comedy to it, and which was really good for the film. And then you got Sarita Chaudhuri, who plays Zara. She's the doctor in here. And I'm not going to lie, I've said this before, I'll say it again. These Middle Eastern women, I don't know what it is about them lately, but I've been having a strange fixation on them, because damn, these women are fine as hell, okay? She's the doctor in here, and it was pretty impressive, too. They show her house and stuff like that. I mean, her car. I mean, she is the shit in this film, but she knows the rules of women and stuff like that. There's even a scene where she's like, she sneaks up in the water. You wonder why it's kind of a mystery when they go on their first date, if you will. She's like, I'll follow you, you lead the way, and then she sneaks up in him in the water. And she says, I'm wearing shorts like you just because, you know, if the neighbors see me, I don't want them to see me in a bikini, because obviously you can't wear that out here. I don't give a damn if you're a doctor or not. They will hang your ass for that. So, and you know, you see titties. I mean, flat out titties in water. The water in here is beautiful. The water, matter of fact, this whole scenery just looked amazing right here. Got to give credit to that. But her and Tom Hanks have a very unique dynamic together. They both kind of went through, she even tells him, I went through a similar situation like you did about a couple of years ago. Right now I'm going through divorce. I have two kids, son and daughter, who I work for. And she kind of gives Tom Hanks the purpose of, I don't want to say living, but she gives him a direction of purpose, if you will. A direction of purpose of changing things up and being new instead of being in the same mundane lifestyle that he was in. One thing I did like about this film, there's about three movies, I think, that came out this year that was in the Middle East. I forgot where the Michael Bay film took place at. That one was cool. But I felt like this, to me, was the better version of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot that people liked. I guess they were kind of half and half on it and stuff like that. This movie's kind of getting half and half as well. I like this one a little bit. I like this one a lot more than Whiskey Tango. I didn't like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I didn't like a lot of the films that took place in the Middle East this year, because they just felt like they had characters doing some stupid shit in them. And what I like about this film is that we didn't have Tom Hanks not once do anything stupid. I mean, you see it in the trailer. There's a scene where he's like, oh, there was a big gathering at this building, what happened. And Yusef tells him, oh, there was an execution there in public. Yeah, they do live executions. And they ask him, you want to go there or whatever? He's like, no, hell no, I don't want to go there. Yeah, where, you know, in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Tina Fey is like, oh, yeah, I want to go there. I want to see that. And it's just like, why? Why would you want to be in the middle? Plus, you're a woman. You shouldn't. No, God, no. But I like that they didn't, because every time I watch these movies, they kind of make me cringe on how stupid Americans can be. And I never once had that feeling. Now, there was one moment I did cringe where this lady, I forgot who plays the actress. I think it was Jane Perry who played it, because I can't remember the girl's name that was in the film. She kind of poses as his his guide, if you will, because the people he's supposed to be meeting, they keep bailing out on him, or at least the receptionist keeps telling him they're not here or whatever. So he just decides to sneak up in there, and she's like, oh yeah, said if for me to take care of you. And she gives him some alcohol because he's not supposed to drink near the kingdom and stuff like that. And I thought about why not, but then I was like, yeah, drunk people probably taking shots at the king, that's probably why. So he goes on a drinking binge this whole thing, and you can tell, like, it ain't nothing like some Saudi Arabia whiskey, I can tell you that right now. And he drinks the whole goddamn bottle, to the point where he decides to take a match, lights a butcher knife up, and try to cut the lump on his back up and shit. And it was, oh, that was the most cringeworthy scene in the damn movie. I was like, oh, God. That shit's probably infected and all kind of things. In fact, cancer could have spread through that damn thing. And, you know, he wakes up the next morning in a big-ass blood stain on his bed. So Tom Hanks sells this shit, too. I mean, he sells every bit of moment in here. I mean, we saw it in Captain Phillips when he sells the PTSD. He really sells depression in this film. He sells the fear in his eyes in this film. And, you know, Yusef, this is another one of the subplots in here where Yusef tells a story of pretty much he's fucking some other, well, not, he's not even fucking her, really. He's kind of dating a girl who's already married, who's rich and powerful and stuff like that. So, you know, he decides to go on the run. And Alan, that's Tom Hanks' character, he decides to join him because he's like, well, I just find out I got this cancerous lump on my back, whatever and stuff. So, you know, I mean, and plus I just found out that the king ain't even coming today because he's in fucking another country himself. So I might as well just go ahead and join you. And I'm not gonna lie, this is the middle half of the film where it's enjoyable in some merits, ever, but it was a part that I was like, this is kind of dragging a little bit longer than it needs to be. I think that later it got into the scenery, though, where they were hunting for wolves. Yusef was asking them all kinds of questions about, you know, if I became a Democrat out here and try to stand up for people's rights, would you defend me? He was just asking a bunch of questions about, you know, what if I was to do this and stuff like that. And, you know, there was that one moment where I was just like, you're going to get murdered if you try to do that out here. But they have a really nice conversation about it, and I thought it was really good to cap off this whole subplot part, which, I don't know, it kind of went nowhere because Yusef ended up just talking to the married guy anyway. And I think that was actually the last time you might have seen Yusef in the film, because after that, the king shows up. The king actually shows up, you know, because they're living in conditions that are like shit, first of all. I mean, the air conditioner gone. He got these three teammates right here in the book. They serve no purpose at all, neither except to set up the display of how they're going to present this hologram, which is a hologram communication line, too, as well, which looked really badass and cool. And they're just there to pretty much complain about the elements that they're in. They're in a fucking tent where there's a building right across the street. It's hot as fuck. Air conditioning don't work. No one's fed them. They barely get any water, etc. They can't get Wi-Fi connection, etc., etc. Tom Hanks runs into the dude he's supposed to meet. It wasn't the king, but it was another dude he's supposed to meet that they said, oh, you're in New York. He takes him to a place where they're building condos and stuff. It was really hella nice, too, as well. And then he just kind of ditches Tom Hanks there. Tom, oh, I had a phone call to me. But he tells him, hey, go up to this floor. There's a guy up there that lives up there. You meet him and then blah, 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 etc. So now, there was a story I heard about a guy that went to Saudi Arabia to sell, like, you know, American products like that, like restaurants and like KFC and shit like that. And I heard he failed completely. I don't know if this was based on the same guy. I don't know the actor that played him or anything like that. But there was a guy he met, and this place is looking bad. Tom Hanks, he's like, I gotta have a beer. Give me a beer, please. Shoot me a beer here. He gets the beer. This place is looking lovely, and which is funny because he said, oh, some people moved in already, even though the condos aren't finished. And this place looked amazing. And Tom Hanks and him had a conversation. He was just being serious about it, where he was just like, so how's business doing? He was just like, to be honest with you, it's doing pretty terrible. Nobody really wants to come to this country to work for or sell the products that they're selling here because of, you know, most of the rules and regulations that go on down there and stuff like that. And plus, no one's really looking to move to Saudi Arabia neither, especially let alone with all these condos they have. No one was buying them up. So that actually does come back later in the film, kind of like to top it off. And, you know, it gets back to after that, like, it was another subplot kind of ending as well. And then it gets to the whole after the surgery of Tom Hanks, you know, he gets the surgery done. It becomes more about him and the doctor. You know, they start emailing each other more. He kind of sends her a lovely email saying, thank you for, you know, showing me purpose, of giving me a direction of how to lead. He's like, I feel so much better, have the energy, and I feel the need to want to help people out here now. The king shows up. They give a great presentation for this hologram thing. People loved it. I even loved it. I was like, this is really fucking cool. I wish there was more of this in the film, to be honest. But then as, you know, he's texting, or not texting, but emailing the doctor, they're getting around a car, and you see Tom Hanks smiling, look at the king, and he's writing his daughter a letter saying, or the doctor a letter, and his daughter for that matter. And he's just saying, unfortunately, we didn't sell the hologram to the Chinese. I kind of failed. Not to the Chinese, to the king here. The Chinese came with a cheaper version of it and a faster technology and stuff like that. Well, basically, the Chinese kind of fucked him over again. But he was kind of happier this time or whatever. you know, him and the doctor started getting a little bit more closer. They went on dates, and they started talking about cultural clashes and stuff like that. And I thought it got really intriguing in this part. You know, the middle half, like I said, it was slow and kind of like, all right, let's get to the point of what's going on. But here, it got more intriguing for me after you find out the Chinese kind of fucked him over once again. And he started spending more time with the doctor. And she starts to show you her lifestyle and you know, talks about her family and all that great stuff. And it was, like I said, it's a culture clash. They pretty much go over each other's cultures of because he brings up camping constantly, and she's like, how can I take my boy camping? First of all, we don't camp out here. Second of all, I'm a woman. They would hang me just on the simple fact of trying to take a man camping and stuff like that. But then he kind of comes back to it and tell a meaningful story about, I guess, the meaning of camping itself, of how it was with him and his father. His father fucking hates his guts today. And I thought that was really good. It was really hard, and you see the tears coming from it. Because at first I was trying to understand where this story was going, but then when it ended, I was like, oh, I get what you were trying to say now. Like I said, there's a beautiful water scene where they go swimming, and then, you know, they start making out. They fuck. Tom Hanks gave her that super National Treasure dick. It was amazing. I'm not going to lie. Even I was kind of getting turned on, because I ain't going to lie, this woman, I don't know, she kind of turned me on a little bit. I was like, hey, let me, I wanted to slap Tom Hanks on the ass and say, why don't you move to the side real quick and let me get a piece of that now, a little bro. Because it was funny to me, too, as well, because I can't remember if it was Jane Perry's character or not, whatever, but she invites him to this elaborate party where people are just fucking making out, drinking, doing, I mean, as soon as Tom Hanks walk in, you see dudes snorting up cocaine like a motherfucker already. And she's just throwing herself at Tom Hanks. She's just pretty much like, I want it now. I want that National Treasure dick. Let me feel it right now. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just, yeah, you're not doing it for her. And she's like, oh, really? Well, what should we do then? Whatever. And he's like, I got jokes to tell you if you want. And I was like, damn. And it was funny to me while he was making out with the what's her name? Zara in here. Is because it was funny to me, because I was like, damn, Tom Hanks had constantly had this white pussy thrown at him, and he was just looking at that like, you're bored and boring to me. Pass that brown shit over here, though. And I was like, so I found that to be hilarious as hell, and plus, they had better chemistry anyway. And then the movie just wraps itself up with saying, you know, he failed at selling his gig. Like I said, it was his last straw, but he found a new job, and he was writing his daughter letter saying he thinks he's going to stay in Saudi Arabia a little bit longer than expected, might even move out there. He found another job working for the guy who kept standing him up, and pretty much he was going to sell condos out there or whatever, because that's what he does. He's a salesman and stuff like that, and it seemed like it was working for him. He was paying off, and then the movie ends with him walking into Zara's house once again, and door closing, and the movie ends. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's one of those films, if you are tired of the middle-aged white man drama and stuff like that, then you might not like this film. I mean, there's really not a lot going on in this film. I definitely wouldn't tell you to go rush out in theaters and see this. The acting in here is great on everybody's part. There are a lot of subplots in here. Some of them kind of go nowhere or don't even really add anything to the story itself. It's almost like a collection of shorts. Which, I don't know, I don't mind that much. And I would be lying if I didn't say I was intrigued throughout the beginning to end of this film to see where it was going to go. All in all, man, I walked out, not really. I didn't walk out hating the film or really loving the film, but I had a good time. I enjoyed myself. And for that, I'm going to give it a rent. I kind of went back and forth on my rating, what it was going to be on the drive home and stuff like that. But I think I'm positive with this rent. It's nothing you need to rush out and go see, but if you want to see Tom Hanks, Mr. National Treasure himself, give a little Middle Eastern lady an orgasm, then I highly recommend you go check this out. And if you don't really care for that, then it's still a rent it then.
Call me first thing after that meeting.
Okay.
There was something going on there yesterday.
Yeah, that's where they do the executions. You want to go back and check out what's going on now?
No. No.
Alan, where are you? Why are you not out there?
Mr. Clay.
What happened to me?
An anxiety attack. You'll be okay.
Thank you. This spring.
Says you're really worried, huh?
I've lost direction, I think.
I think I need to see you again.
There's a lot at stake for a woman like her.
What do you think of this?
You and me, the big culture clash. We are separated by the thinnest filament.
Well, that's the way I think.
That's the way it is.
Sometimes you have to change your scenery to change your life.
It's a brand new city. It's uncharted territory. With the deserts and the camels and the tents.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Showtime. Expect the unexpected.